Hello, and welcome to our full moon gathering recording. This is a very powerful time that we're in. It's not just this full moon in Gemini, it's the end or culmination as we're getting ready to wrap up the last few years. That basically initiated with the big shift in 2020. And for those of you that have been with me since that time, since we started the community, you'll have remembered that hopefully that I had indicated that we would not be feeling relief until 2027 because even though we thought 2024 was going to bring the relief that we were looking for, it became very clear as the energies continued to play on that the relief we were hoping for, the resolution, the shift in the collective consciousness wasn't quite happening, and the energies were still slow moving, and people were still slow to shift their consciousness higher. And now we're seeing more and more people becoming more aware and operating from a more conscious perspective. And so we're coming into the end of the end. This year, because it's a 9 year, actually marks the wrap up, but as with a number nine, always there's going to be some lingering residue, right? Karmic or otherwise, that we are going to have to be playing out until the end of 2026, when 2027 will bring a huge shift right in the beginning of the year where we will really feel more energy slated towards the idea of moving forward. As right now, it's still feeling like there's this bit of stuckness. And so, Mercury, very interesting sign because Mercury is the ruler of Gemini, and Mercury is all about communication, and Gemini is very analytical minded. It's all about communication and thoughts and thinking. And if you go back a couple of classes, you'll have remembered maybe that I said that Uranus is going to be excited about being in the sign of Gemini moving out of Taurus because in Taurus, Uranus is very stuck. It feels stuck. It feels dense because Taurus is an earth sign. It's very dense. It moves very, very slow. It's very grounded, very rooted. It doesn't like to do things in a fast manner. Whereas Gemini is very fast, action oriented. Uranus is electric. It's fast energy. It's like lightning. And Gemini is an air sign, and it too is electric. And we've talked many, many times in the past. I have recordings on my YouTube channel about how thoughts become actions, how thoughts turn into emotions. And that's because thoughts are electric and our emotional body is trying to catch up with the nature of our thoughts. And then the emotion kicks in. And before we know it, we're in the depth of the emotion and have a hard time bringing ourselves back. So this is a very, very potent time right now, as we are moving forward under these energies. We are still feeling somewhat as if we're at a crossroads. I know for myself, I have been feeling that way. Interestingly, the other day I was driving home from the grocery store and I was coming down the road, and to my left, and a black cat is always a marker for me. It's been that way my whole entire life. But to my left, there was this little black cat trying to cross the road going to my right. But as I was approaching, I slowed down when I saw him. And then in my head, I was talking to him, saying, "Stay put. Do not run. Do not go anywhere. There is a car coming in the other direction and it will be crossing you. So do not move." And as I said that, it turned around from the road and it went back to where it was, and it sat down and it literally lifted its paw as if it was in waiting. And this little black cat just sat there waiting. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's me. That's me. I feel like I'm in a holding pattern with everything. I feel like I'm holding on to everything, waiting for that next pathway to present itself, for the magical gateway to open up so that I can walk through it. And it feels like there's still things to do before we get to that point. And that's what Gemini is basically showing us. The full moon in Gemini is basically teaching us the essence of duality and how to remain present and not move too fast, because you can't leave one spot and be in another spot simultaneously. You can't be from one place and get to another without first going through some kind of process. And Gemini is the twins, it's the nature of the twins. And so when we think of Gemini, it's got two facets to it, right? And so one is the thinking facet, the other is the communication facet. And it has to first do its thinking, and then it can create the communication. And then through the communication, it can do more thinking. And then through more thinking, there's more communication. So we have to step outside of the stimulation that's on the outside, that's around us, and really come back into center. This is such a powerful time for grounding and centering and some kind of meditative practice. Whether it's through the arts, right? So even dancing could be meditation, or Qigong could be meditation, or Tai Chi, or walking could be a walking meditation. But this time is really asking us to kind of remove ourselves from the noise of the reality, the stimulus of the reality, and just be an observer to it, not trying to participate in it just yet. And that's what the cat was telling me. It was like, just be patient. I'm going to be patient crossing this road, waiting for my perfect moment. And you need to be waiting too. You need to be patient too, because you are going to have that forward movement. That forward movement that you desire is coming, but it's not yet ready. It's not yet set for you to engage in. And so there's this pause, right, as we get to the crossroads. And it feels like we have to make decisions. We have to make a choice in the path. Do we go to the left? Do we go to the right? Do we go to the north? Do we go to the south? And in every decision that we're making, the decision we make is 50% of the equation, which means that 50% of the equation we said yes to, but the other 50% of the equation we said no to. And so there's some fear that goes with all of this that has us looking within saying, If I make this choice here, which seems really good, am I gonna lose something? Am I gonna lose some income? Am I gonna lose a friendship? Am I gonna lose my significant other? Am I gonna lose my ability to express myself, right? And so that fear can feel extremely challenging. It can feel painful. It can feel confusing. But when we take responsibility for ourselves and we step back, remembering that we don't have to drive the bus, the choice does not feel heavy anymore because there is freedom in the message that comes through that says, be patient. Right? That message of be patient, it's not ready yet. Be patient, you can't see it yet because it's not lined up yet. Be patient, you can't feel it because it hasn't presented fully. It's still being put together by the magic of the universe. Be patient because the timing is not appropriate. And so, in this time, it's very important that we need to sit back and allow ourselves to move into a higher level experience, holding the idea that we don't have to have all the answers. And it's becoming clearer in every moment for me that the way that my greatest joy presents to me is through my letting go. And it's the same way for all of us. It's the same way for each one of us, knowingly or unknowing, whether you realize it or you don't realize it. When we try to make something happen, it often backfires because the energies are not right. And it requires us to take a step back so that we can really see what it is that we're creating. What I'm seeing right now, from my own personal observation with working with people on a day-to-day basis, this energy that we're in is asking to allow the journey to come to us, allow the path to come to us, allow ourselves to step back, not needing anything more than what is right now. And as a human being, because we are built with an ego, we want to know, well, what is it going to look like? What does that look? Am I gonna like it? Is it gonna be good? Am I gonna be happy? But when we get in our way, we're gonna pollute the path. We're gonna miscommunicate the intention that we truly have or desire to the universe. The universe is not going to be clear about what it is that we're wanting. The other day, I had a very brief conversation with somebody who I haven't heard from in years and years and years, and they reached out through Instagram, and I was like, oh, how are you? What's new? How's your significant other? And they were like, oh, I moved out of state. I went through a divorce and I decided to move back with my family to be close to them. And I said, oh, that really? You did that? You moved back? And they were like, yeah, it just felt like what I needed to do to be supported. And I was like, okay. I could clearly see that that was not the right path for them because when they married this person. This person helped them exit the timeline of the state that they were in. And I'm talking about a physical state, right? They lived in New York. And they exited that state and ended up in another state. And then, after living in that state for a year or 2 years, 3 years, whatever, ended up moving to someplace else. And for this person's energy, that place that they were living, where they ended up getting the divorce, was in its perfection. But for some reason, they did not see that and decided to move back to New York to be with their family. So I clearly, because I'm not in the distortion, the distraction that they are playing in, the energies that they are creating, could see that they had moved back into a position of immense distortion. And the next conversation they had with me was about where I moved to. And I had mentioned I'm here in Florida, and they were like, "Oh, wow, that's interesting, because I left there and I'm not living there anymore." And I was like, "I know that, but maybe you'll come back here because I think that this energy is good energy for you." And they basically said to me that they were thinking that their next move out of New York again, or even someplace in New York, would be predicated on their next relationship. And I thought to myself for a second, how crazy that felt to me, because their movement forward, their pathway forward, is never, ever, ever based on anybody else. Our pathway forward is never based on anybody else, right? It's based on us. And the choice that they made initially in getting married to this other person moved them to the place strategically that they were meant to be in. And unknowingly, I'm sure they didn't realize it at the time, they decided to leave the place that they could be thriving to move back to New York, which was not in their best interest. And I thought that was so interesting to see that. But that's the nature of these energies. When we're trying to drive the bus of our journey, instead of allowing ourselves to be led to where we are, letting go of the need for others to participate, right? Which is also ties to boundary issues, which also ties to control issues, and having to control our destiny. And so another conversation from somebody that I spoke with this past week sticks out in my head. And the conversation is the distraction that others are not participating in the way that they want them to. And the acknowledgement is that they have done nothing wrong. And the interesting things about these two scenarios that I'm presenting here is that under these energies, both scenarios are not looking at the path, are not sitting in the path, are not present for the path, are not yielding, giving themselves permission to just be for the moment. Instead, there's this dire need for the ego mind, right? Gemini, the mind, to get in the way. Although the Gemini moon is asking us to not do that. Do not do that. But there is this lack of awareness that the best solution when we are conflicted with scenarios, situations, and circumstances in our life is always going to be to just sit with what is and not try to direct that energy because that is resistance in the field. And that resistance just keeps us ruminating in the idea of stuckness. And then we feel that stuckness, and then we're frustrated with it. We want out of it, and we keep recognizing it. And as we recognize it and pass it through our field, the universe says, oh, obviously you like that feeling that you are having. Let us give you more. And so more stuckness builds until the energy is just overwhelming. And then we have to break down and hit our knees to gain clarity again because we're in the way. So this full moon is asking us to move out of the way so that we are not part and party to our detriment. Right? We're not tripping ourselves. We're not setting up these pitfalls for us to fall into. In other words, we're not going into that next step in our dream state, digging the hole, throwing a tarp over it, and then putting a sign next to the tarp that says, stand here and free money will rain down on you. So we run to it and we think that that is the answer to our prayers. And we run to that tarp and stand on that tarp only to fall into the hole that we dug for ourselves because we keep tripping ourselves up, right? We are not willing to see what it is that we are creating with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And, one of the things that I have been doing on a regular basis has been looking at my reality and everything in it, trying to hold the highest clarity for what is presenting, and looking at how I am impacting every situation, every circumstance in my life, not allowing myself to get distracted, right? Not allowing myself to go out looking for something because I feel sad, I feel lonely, I feel isolated, I feel, exhausted from my life or my lack of interaction. And I think to myself, which I'm presenting to all of you, is in those moments where we feel dissatisfied with something that is taking place, and then we look at it and we're like, why am I here? What am I doing here? I need to get out of this. I need to run away. I need to go explore some other avenues. I need to figure this out in some way, right? I did that at a stage in my life when I was going through my divorce from my third husband, Pete. I was so devastated by that divorce that, the first two divorces, I was just went on with my life. I never imbibed in alcohol or anything like that. But then the third divorce, a friend showed up in my life, this girl that I was hanging out with, who had kids, and she was going through a divorce herself. And she was like, hey, let's go out dancing. It'll be something to do. We'll go out once a week, Saturday night. Not a big deal. But then I found myself being distracted away from my reality, going out dancing, and the outer reality, and the people that I was meeting was worse than the reality that I was existing in with my soon-to-be ex-husband. And I wasn't aware. I didn't realize it. I didn't allow myself to see that I was just trading up distortion to exit something that was making me unhappy. And then the distortion that I was meeting going out was making me even more unhappy. But I didn't realize it. And how many of us do that on a regular basis? We're not recognizing that we're engaging in something that is not beneficial for us because there is a distraction in our reality that needs our attention, that needs our focus, so that we can see, hey, what is it that I need to resolve here? Right? In my experience, what was it with my ex-husband that I needed to resolve? Well, the idea was that I needed to come from a place of love, this unconditional love for him, understanding that it was the soul's contract that we end in the divorce. It was the soul's contract that there was no money to be gotten from that divorce, and I would have to rebuild my life all over again. It was the understanding that that was the soul contract. But that understanding, because I was also struggling with the Bartholin cyst that I had at the same time, although it wasn't the cancer that returned, it was a cyst. I was going through massive amounts of turmoil within myself. And it took me 4 years to get so clear that at the end of that 4 year period in October 2017, I was able to not only heal the cyst, but heal my relationship with my ex-husband because I was still living in the same house with him. And through that work that I did back then at that time allowed me to move forward in a way I could never imagine. And here I am living my best life on, this beautiful piece of property, thanks to Joe needing somebody to house it for him. And I'm tending three peacocks and four chickens and four quail. And, it's really been a beautiful experience, and the universe has blessed me with here so that I could give myself, literally give myself a time out and go even deeper into my own journey and into my own work so that I could bring through greater clarity than I've ever had in my life about what is it that still needs tightening up. What am I still doing that I need to stop doing? Because the energies are going to change by March of 2026. And I need to really get a handle on my part, my role. Where am I still selling myself short? Right. And what am I doing that's still creating this dynamic for myself where I'm giving too much and I'm not getting enough? Where am I giving more than I am receiving? And so that has been a theme that I have needed to look at this past month. And now, with this full moon in Gemini, it's really asking me to just let go so I can really sit with this and be present because the signs are there. Like the next part of the journey, the next move that I'm supposed to make is not going to open up until I let go. But what am I letting go of? And so this past week, some things presented for me that helped me gain some clarity on a situation in my life that revolves around my cat Bella. And I remember when she came to me in the house in Medford, which we just kind of passed our gotcha date because it was in November that she actually ran into my house and sat in my chair and was like, "I'm staying. Is that okay?" And I was like, "I guess so." I didn't want another pet, but I decided, okay, I can do this. And it's been difficult with her. She's been a challenge because she only wants my attention. She doesn't want any other cats to interact with. And she went from a cat not wanting to be in my lap or not wanting to sleep on my bed to being obsessed with being in my lap and being obsessed with sleeping in my bed. And finally, the last straw broke this past week when she was acting out in some spiteful ways. And I had to look at that and say, okay, knowing how the work works, and this is for all of you too, this is not just for me, but this is all of us, okay? And it's going to present in pets. It's going to present in significant others. It's going to present in your children, your siblings, your friends, whatever way it has to, so that you can gain clarity of perspective. For me, the only person I have consistently in my reality is my cat. So it had to present through Bella. And interestingly enough, it got to a head last night. And I don't really let her out here at night. Like, she would love to be out roaming all night. But, I've heard stories that there's coyotes in the area, although I've never heard any. And, I do hear the owls there. And I saw one a couple months ago, was across the street, huge owl with probably a 20-foot wingspan because they can be super big. And it was a huge owl in the tree across the street. And so I know there's owls out there and everything, but I also know on some level Bella's pretty smart. And then on my highest level, I also know that soul contracts at play, right? I have a contract with her. She has a contract with me. But then also, there's that contract with herself of what she came into this life to experience. And as I was sitting in bed last night, I was journaling on this scenario. And I said to myself, if I was my client and I was doing work with my client, like, I see it in everybody else so readily. Like, where if you come for a session, and many of you know this, if you come for a session, I'm reading the field. Like, I'm seeing what's needed, right? You hear me do that on the lives when we're live and we're having a journey together on the live. And I very clearly read the field, but for myself, sometimes it's a little bit convoluted. I have to really clear myself, clear my mind, sit down, make the time, and just see what's presenting, just see what is going on. And when I sat down with my journal last night, I started writing. And what was coming up was very interesting. What was coming up was that I, without realizing it, was controlling my cat. Controlling where she could go, what she could do, what time she could be out, how she gets out, how she gets in, the whole thing. And on another level, my cat was presenting where I don't have boundaries. In other words, in any given moment, if she wants to sit on my lap, I usually let her sit on my lap. And I wasn't thinking that that was a boundary issue, but that is clearly a boundary issue. And Anybody that knows me knows that if you message me something in Instagram or email or something, I'm likely to respond to you the same day. Sometimes it takes me longer, depending on what I've got going on, but most of the time I'll be responding the same day. And I try to do that for community members. I get a lot of people who are not in the community and not even doing sessions with me looking for that interaction with me, and I can't answer them because I know for me it's a boundary issue, right? Book a session and let's work through whatever. Because me answering one question turns into two questions, three questions, four questions, and before I know it, we're messaging each other for an hour and it's been a session, right? That I should be paid for. And those of you that do the work know that, right? And so I looked at that and I realized she's showing me where my boundaries are weak and how I really have to tighten that up. And unfortunately, she's going to have to participate in that with me. Sorry about that. I had to stop the recording for a second. I had something going on over here. So, this whole thing was very enlightening for me to sit and journal this and have this awareness because it's like somebody who has an eating disorder and they're trying to control life through an eating disorder, and then they heal the eating disorder, but that energy for control just transfers to something else. And then they, let's say, take up drinking, right? And then they turn to alcohol and they have an alcohol problem. Or they heal from the alcohol problem and then they turn to some kind of, prescription drug, right? To self-medicate. And it's like we're trying to control something in our life and we've healed what we are aware of, right? We've healed what we're aware that we're trying to control. And now it's going to present in a way of us not being aware, right? So for me, and I'm sharing this because this is how it's working, and I just want you guys to have this information so that you can see it in your own life and really sit down with it and journal it because we're all doing this in some way, shape, or form. And for me, it was Bella trying to control and manage her situation living here, because I was no longer controlling my own situation, my own life, my own living situation, because I had healed the fear and turn to the letting go. However, that energy is still in my field somewhere. So it just transitioned into managing Bella and controlling Bella. And it really on a grand scale, it's something so much smaller than me trying, managing my life, right? And where my next move is going to be or what's my next business endeavor is going to look like, or, anything else in my life, right? Like it, whatever the potential is. And so on a smaller scale, because I've healed so much of it, let's say I've healed 75% or 80% out of 100, and there's 20% of that control energy left in me to explore an experience, then I'm going to project it onto Bella and she'll hold it up as my mirror and let me see, hey, you are really trying to control the outcome here. You're really trying to control this situation. And what's interesting is she's never ever had a problem with fleas. Ever since I've had her, never had a problem. She's been an outdoor cat her whole entire life. Never had a problem with anything. And even when Lasagna was here and Lasagna had a problem with fleas, she really didn't have much of a problem with fleas. I would find like one, maybe two a week, and not anything significant. This morning, today, I must have pulled off, I don't know, 10, 12 fleas from her. So of course, tonight I'm going to sit with that and I'm going to journal through that and really look at what that is saying, because fleas represent bloodsuckers, or somebody, preying on us, or us giving too much and not receiving enough. So I have to look at that and say, where am I giving too much and I am not receiving back? Where do I not have a sense of reciprocity in the actions that I take when I am giving? Where is that not coming back? And that's serious. That's really important, because we have to look at that and we have to acknowledge it and identify it so that we can heal it, so that we stop doing that. Okay. And so it's become really, really important for the self-evaluation. It's important for us to look at the mirror that is reflecting back at us, no matter if it's our children, our significant other, friendships, siblings, whatever it is. Could even be our pets, right? If our pet is displaying something, what is the dynamic there? What is taking place there? Okay. Now, Bella also, because of the fact that she's had this situation with fleas, there's a part of me that's not sure that it's all flea related, because she was having a problem with the itchies when we first got here. And then I was at the hair salon, and the girl that was doing my hair told me that her neighbor has a dog, and the dog is, I think, a boxer or something like that. And the dog has skin allergies due to the Florida environment. It cannot handle the humidity. And so it had to go on special medicine from the vet. Now, I know ever since we've been here, she started licking her fur off. Now, in the work that we do, fur or body hair, like alopecia type of hair loss, has to do with grounding. And it also has to do with relationships, because you have to remember the first and fourth chakras are synonymous. They're united, right? So it has to do with grounding, and it has to do with relationships. Where are relationships out of balance? If there's a breach and there is some kind of boundary issue, then that's definitely a relationship. And maybe I'm not losing my hair, but my Bella is acting as my animal guru, and she's bearing the stress for me, or she's bearing the symbology for me, because she's losing her hair, right? And pets will often do that for us. They will get sick on our behalf so that we don't have to get sick. Okay. Sometimes they will pass away and check out, just so that we don't have to do that at this time. They'll carry that lifetime for us, right? So this time is so potent and powerful. It's asking us to look at this. And the more we root into these deeper, stronger energies, we have the solstice coming up, right? It's our sacred gateway. And then we have the new year right after that. So we're changing vibration, we're changing energy. It's very physical. And right now, I know I can tell you, we are being hammered with third eye and heart activations. Oh my goodness, it's like tenfold from what it was before. So this is where we have to start paying attention to everything in our reality and see, where haven't we done our due diligence? Where are we still needing to tighten up, right? I've identified two areas. I thought, hey, I'm doing really good. Universe is like, nope, you gotta get that control thing under control, because you're still wanting to control something in your life, and you're trying to do that through Bella. And in return, Bella is showing you where you don't have good boundaries, because she's trying to, literally run you over and be in charge by sitting in your lap 24/7 every single day. And that's not okay. because I have to be able to say no to her without feeling bad, right? Like this morning, I wanted to have my coffee on the couch without her sitting in my lap. And she got offended and she wanted to go out on the screen porch where I have a cat condo for her. And she has literally been out there all day long. This is so not her normal state. And it's been humid out today. So this is even further removed from who she normally is. So I have to look at that and say, like, she's upset because she did not get to do what she really wanted to do, which was sit in my lap and, be my number one, right? But I can't have somebody else as my number one. I have to be my number one. So if it's not right for me, and if I feel like I need to have my coffee in solitude and peace, then that's what I have to do. This is where we fail ourselves, and this is where this full moon is asking us to just let go, right? It's asking us to let go of all the promises that we've made, all the agreements that we've signed, even the soul contracts that we have with each other for whatever the purpose, so that we can move forward in a way that's more highly aligned with the soul. The soul is buried in there somewhere, but we're not letting it through. And I'm hearing this over and over and over and over, right? We get stuck in a story in our head, and then we start to tell that story, and we're telling that story over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it becomes like the game of telephone where we don't actually remember the truth of that story. Okay. I had a client on Wednesday telling me something about themselves and their life circumstances and their situation and their relationship, and they are just unhappy, they're angry, they're done, it's all the other person's fault, none of it is them. They changed. Now I've been working with them before they came together in a relationship. I know the two of them very well, very, very well. And I actually said, no, they haven't changed. They never changed. You changed. Because when I did a session with you, I remember asking you, can you do this? Because the circumstances are this for them. In other words, they can't accept XYZ if that's going to be something that's necessary for you in order to be in a relationship with them. And I remember you saying, no, that's okay. I don't need that. It's your life is wonderful. Yeah, I don't need the big, $50 million mansion, and I don't need all the money, and I don't need all this and everything else. And now that's changed. And you've changed, and they're still saying the same thing they said day one, but you're not. And you have to look at that because it's not them that changed. Very hard position for me to be in, but I had such clarity to what was playing out that I asked them, please sit with this, right? Every one of us is facing the same thing. We have to look at ourselves and see what is the story we keep telling, right? What is that story that we keep telling? We want to blame, put blame out there. We want to put shame out there. We want to, have them make the change. Those people that are doing this, we want them to change, or that significant other, or that child, or that work relationship, or whatever it is, we want them to change. But that's not how this works. It's just not how it works, right? We have to change. We have to change. And the energies are constantly focusing us back within ourselves, constantly. But when we don't want to do the work and we want to look at things, look at life as being unfair, then it's going to keep coming back to us, and it's going to keep being pushed back where it's going to get harder and harder and harder. And we're going to feel like there's less and less and less control for us. But at the end, when we realize that the only energy that matters is the energy that we're holding, the frequency that we're holding, and then we change that frequency, every single thing in our reality starts to change. Everything does. So this is the time. It's very, very important. Between the solar flares, we're getting hammered every day, all day long, earth-facing sunspots and solar flares. And I shared a couple of things to my stories. This is really big. I'm doing a journey for the 12 days leading up to solstice because this is such a powerful time. I've decided to do a journey to honor this sacred time, and that's something I've never done for any other solstice. But because the energies are so incredibly powerful, I've decided I want to be extra creative because sometimes I fail myself and I fall short because I'm so tired from my day because maybe I had a session or two or three, and it just exhausted me, right? The conversations are just exhausting, and I have to stay on point for all of them so that I can be present and see the energies in the field and really call the right timelines and everything. And so I want to be more creative, extra creative, and do something that's more highly aligned for myself. And this was something that was very important to me because of the creative aspect of it, right? This time right now is like a death and rebirth, because if you think about it, we just are going through finishing up the year of the wood snake, right? That transformation through the shedding. It's like the phoenix energy. Phoenix energy has to set itself on fire in order to be reborn from its ashes. And in order to have that rebirth, we're going through this cosmic shift. And the idea is that we're shedding through the wood snake, and now we're accessing the new year, which is going to be the year of the fire horse. Now, think about that, the fire horse. Horses are already about courage, right? And journeying and pathways and forward movement. But now it's got fire igniting it, making it more intensified. That's something to think about. It wants us all to catch that fire element and really let ourselves become the horse and move forward in a way that's going to be like the phoenix, right? The fire horse that coming out of the flames into the resurrection of the new self. And of course, 2026 is a 1 year, so it's all about new beginnings, right? And so this internal wheel, right? Time clock, whatever you want to call it, that's asking us to just surrender right now and just be quiet. It's really so that we can hold these energies and anchor them for the collective that needs to feel them in order for us to really come into the oneness, right? And so in doing that, we're also supporting the electromagnetic field and its fluctuations through these crazy energies, through these solar flares and the geomagnetic storms, right? And I can tell you that my dreams have been off the hook. A couple nights ago, I was before a council in my dream, and they were thanking me for the work that I've been doing. And it was so surreal. But we're all having this experience. And the more we're on our path, The more we're dialed in, the higher realms will be connecting with us to, give us that extra boost, that feeling of like, yeah, I'm really making a difference here, when we don't feel like we're making a difference. But it really is requiring that we stay on the path, that we look to the journey and know when to take the step and when to be in stillness, because the path hasn't finished evolving, or the path has not finished opening, or being laced with magic, right? Because that happens. And so I've been feeling very strongly called to doing art. And I had this vision for a painting in my head, and it was a lion and a woman. So I mapped it out on paper and started to paint it. And then it must have activated something. I'm not even done with it yet. But then I started to see a woman with deer antlers. She's a woodland fairy. And I thought, wow, I definitely want to go do that next. That's going to be like so cool to paint that. And I'm seeing the colors and the surroundings. And I open a message. I open my Instagram page to look at a message that I was sent. And the first post on my page is an artist I follow who's a, an art teacher who's got online classes. And what did she just paint and draw? A woodland fairy with antlers. Universe is just showing me, because I'm in the work and because I'm taking my time out, knowing when to move forward and knowing when to be quiet, I'm aligning myself. And then I keep feeling candles, right? I keep wanting to buy candles, but I have candles. I don't need to buy them. But it's like the idea of candles, candles, candles keeps, it just keeps coming up. And then I thought, like, there's more significance to this than what I'm thinking, because I want to light the candle and have it on my desk while I'm painting and doing art. And the next thing I know, I accidentally drop my phone and it opens up to my YouTube channel, of all things. And this person is talking about the light of the creator sparking you. I mean, it was a general, not to me particularly, but sparking you in a way that's so significant that brings in the light and infuses the light in you. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's the candlelight, right? That's really the symbology of the candlelight. It's just that presence that we have to have, right? Which is why I've been journaling, because it's really important to write this stuff down and then have gratitude. Like, the best time to do gratitude is at night, and just sit and do your gratitude, and then you can go to bed with that gratitude in your heart, right? And write down, like, what are the themes playing in out in your life, because the energies are so palpable. It's like everything and anything is possible. And because of the nature of what's taking place within the cosmos, soul contracts are ending. And some of us are going to be ending them sooner. Some of us will be ending them later. I'm ending soul contracts and karma, and the finale for that, as I am, informed, let's say, the finale for that is going to be sometime in the beginning of 2027, is when that all comes to an end for me. And then I wrap up literally the first half of my life, although it's not half of my life, right? Because I'm a little older than that, but I'm like, oh, there's more to come. There's more to do. What does that look like? How exciting, right? So this is the completion of the completion energies that we're playing in. And we're gonna have endings, and sometimes they're stretched out, right? It's not one big ending, but it's a little series of little endings so that we can have new beginnings. And as we move through these energies, we have to watch for those new beginnings. What's wanting our attention? What is so in love with us right now that we can be so in love with that? Where can we trust just a little more? Right? Instead of holding fear and not being in alignment with what is. And that's so important. I can't even stress that enough. You know, I don't want to be a broken record here, but it's so important for us to really just be so present to see what is playing out. Because we don't have a lot of time left in this energy. You know, we have like next year and maybe summer 2027. And right now, I know, like, I feel like I timeline jumped here. I could timeline jump to my next place. So where are you gonna hop to? The other day I was filling the pail for the chicken water, and I was by the pole barn water spigot out back, which is far away from the chickens, and a little water sprinkled from the nozzle onto the floor, and I saw something jump. And when I looked down, there was this teeny tiny frog next to my foot. Teeny tiny little frog, probably as big as my thumb. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, there's a leaper. There's a jumper jumping forward, hopping timelines, right? So, I mean, this is where we have to look to. And because this 9 year is coming to an end, we want to make sure that we're not trying to hold on to the experiences that we've always given ourselves that are not good for us, right? Those things that we repeat over and over and over again, like relationships, right? We don't want to do that. We don't want to give ourselves the different, you know, the different experiences that are not creating joy in our life. We want to let them go and let ourselves move beyond that, right? It's like when I cleared that energy from last September through my solar plexus. That was so painful, but it was necessary to discharge the energy because I couldn't do it any other way. You know, I didn't have that scenario to engage with or play out in any other way. So I had to do it through myself because I couldn't do it with somebody else, right? Now what's playing out is playing out between me and Bella. And I have to make sure that I honor her instead of getting mad at her. I honor what she's bringing to me. I honor everything that she shows me, even if it's something I don't like, because I need to change. I have to shift. I need to let go in some way, shape, or form. The good thing about next year is it's going to be really potent with creation energy. So if there's been something that you're wanting to do, something that you've been waiting, that feels like it just, you know, the timing hasn't been right for it, it's probably going to really start speaking to you as we get into next year, especially getting to like March through June. You're going to feel that real pull forward, right? I've been having a lot of conversations about freedom. You might be feeling like the need for freedom in some way, shape, or form. This conversation came up in a session on Wednesday. The need for freedom, the need to be free. What does that mean? What does that feel like? Right? I remember in January of 2020, I was going to an astrology event with a friend of mine. And on the way, I kept saying, oh my God, the feeling of freedom is so intense right now for me. Like, I feel it so deeply. Like, I feel so free. I feel such freedom. And I didn't realize that that was because, COVID was coming and the freedom would be taken away. So it a had activated freedom codes for me. And I was carrying those codes through COVID, which was how we started this community, right? So here we go again with this new higher level freedom and these sacred codes as we come in through this gateway, right? So we're in these next level energies, and this, the end of this year wants us to let go of these ideologies and the false narratives we're playing out, the illusion that we were under, like they did this to me or they're doing this to me, right? Anywhere where we're experiencing distortion, holding a lower level timeline, because this is it. This is where it has to end, because as we go through next year, we're still going to be in the letting go, but as we hit the middle of next year, 2026, we're going to be in builder energy, right? Building that new one kind of vibration, that new beginning kind of vibration, which is really important. I was just talking about this the other day with somebody because I'm in a one house. The vibration of this house is one. So if you think about what happened with Joe, Joe went through this complete transformation and is now a new version of himself. And I feel like right now I'm in the cocoon waiting because I'm about to birth a new version of myself. Do I know what that looks like? No, not yet, but it's coming. And that's the exciting part, that I know that it's coming. But I have to sit like we all do in these energies and let the pathway evolve so that we can step onto it with purpose, with great purpose, right? Because when sometimes when we don't know and we're uncertain because we're pushing forward and the timing is not right, we're not gonna feel that purpose. It was like me when I created the community. I felt great purpose to doing that. Like I was there to support us all through COVID, and it felt so strong. And I felt like I had such great purpose doing that, right? And now I'm sitting in this cocooning. I'm like, oh, what's coming next? Oh, this is exciting. But I don't feel that purpose yet because I don't know what it is, and it's still unknown. So I'm waiting, and that's what we're doing. We're all in this waiting phase, right? This cocooning. So it's really important for us to sit and do some meditation, do some reflection. My favorite way to do that is with journaling. Listen to what's in your heart, right? Try to tune in to what you need for you. And look at the areas where you may be playing out some frustration. Like for me, it was with Bella. And I had to really sit down and look at that through the lens of the mirror and figure out what was going on there. And I was able to do that because I sat with great clarity. And so this is where we have to sit down. We have to look at what is happening in our life right now that we're in resistance to. That is where we need to work, right? What patterns, habits, routines, beliefs do we continually call up, that we continually activate, we continually play? Where are our dreams telling us? Right? Because that's the subconscious mind coming up, right? Where is the desire that we have? Where is that focus? What does that look like? And then measure that against the things that are distracting you away from that you cannot get to, right? Another good one would be looking backwards, right? How many times do we do that? We look backwards towards an old reality, an old relationship, past circumstances that we might deem as better than we are where we are now. And that's never, ever the truth. It just appears that way because we're delusion. We're in delusion and we're playing in the illusion of what we think is better than what we have now because we're not paying attention. Okay. So it's really important for us to be so present with this. Get outside. I know in certain areas it's very cold, but on a day where it's nice outside, I mean, when I was living in New York and I started my journey and I was doing a lot of gatekeeping work, I would go out. It didn't matter if there was snow on the ground. I would go out in my boots, get outside, find either grass or some kind of stone path or something and stand on it barefoot, even though it was freezing temperatures outside. I did that just so that I could have the connection with the earth. And so we have to make these moments to really ground ourselves and bring ourselves back into wholeness and look at what we are willing to play in that is distracting us away from our true path, from our true north. We've done the South Node and beat it to death. It's coming to conclusion. We want to be on our true north going forward. But if we don't know what that feels like, it's very fuzzy. And these energies, because they're so strong, it's making everything feel very fuzzy. So we have to be really present, right? It was like me going through this experience with Bella and realizing all of a sudden having an aha moment and going, what is going on? Because this is not comfortable. I don't really know what is happening here. I don't like it. And I don't want to play in this. I'm not happy about it. What do I need to do in order to shift this? And the only way I knew how to do that was to get quiet. The only way to get quiet was to start journaling because you have to free your mind. You have to let go so that you're not creating something that you don't want to participate, that you don't want to, like, I don't want to have this relationship with Bella. I don't want her to be spiteful toward me, right? But she's playing a role for me as a soul. She's being spiteful to me to wake me up more. Nobody else in my life can play this role. She has to play this role, right? So look at your life. Who's playing a really tough role for you? Who's trying to get you to wake up? And what are they trying to get you to wake up from? That's important. It's very important, especially since this is a time of endings and we have to get ready, as this moon is asking us, to focus on the journey ahead. Okay. So for each of us, it's going to feel a little bit different, but this is very, it's general enough that I give you all of this in a very generalized way so you can see what you're creating in your own life that you need to shift, that you need to work with. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to see the truth. It's not fun. But now that we see it, when we see it, it's like, oh, I get it. I have to not do that. And what was Interesting was yesterday when I had this aha moment and I saw what I was doing and how I was feeding the distortion of my boundaries, and I realized it. Probably around 11 a.m., somebody had sent me a voice memo message in Instagram, and I hate that because if somebody sends me a voice memo message, it's like, oh, I'm not answering back with a voice memo message. I'll answer back in a text written message, depending on what it is, then asking them to just book a session because it's probably going to require some further dialogue. But in this case, I was so busy. I had three sessions. I had something else on my plate. I did not get to answer that message in Messenger right away. By the time I went back to my phone at the end of the day, I think it was like 6 o'clock at night, when I could finally just sit down and like just defrag and decompress myself, they must have deleted it. Either they reconciled it or something else. And it was deleted, and I didn't need to read it, look at it, hear it, or respond to it. And I was like, that's interesting, right? Because I chose not to cross that boundary, not to oblige, right? The lack of boundary right there, right? In my personal space. Wanting something without giving, because this is a situation with this individual that there is no reciprocity at all, never, ever. Okay. And so it made me so aware that when I straightened myself out and I recognized that I cannot play in that guise anymore, I can't play in those circumstances where there's no reciprocity. It was pulled back. I didn't need to engage because I had healed it in that moment. Now I have to remember to do this each and every time. Otherwise, I'm still playing in that game where I am giving more than I am receiving. See how that lands for you. Is that true for you? Are you giving more than you are receiving? Because if you are, you have to change that. You have to shift that. And then what I would do is I would look at every area of my life, every facet of my life, and see how that pertains to each area of my life and who's bringing through what and who's got the strongest soul contract with me for boundaries, who's got the strongest soul contract with me for control, who's got the strongest soul contract with me for self-worth. And on and on and on and on. And I would work through those and heal those. Because that's the work. We have to wrap this up. We have to be able to move forward. That path is going to open and we have to be ready for that. Okay. So use the energies of this full moon and the solstice. Solstice is way more important. The gateway of the solstice is going to be incredibly important. And I know that I have not sent out a calendar prior to this recording, but we are most likely going to do our live on the 17th. And I will be sending out another recording at some point, but I'm thinking the 17th. I know that the 15th starts Hanukkah. The 24th falls the next week, which is Christmas. And then right after that is New Year's. So I want to get in there and try to work with that energy, because the 20th is right after the 17th, and that's the solstice. So I wanted to get in there and see maybe we could do a meditation or something like that. Also, watch the skies because of these heavy energies that we're under. I can't even tell you. The skies down here are a freaking amazing. They're salmon and turquoise and lavender and all kinds of amazing colors. So at night, when the lights are going down, just go out there and just take a peek. Make sure you're not missing the northern lights because we're being hammered by the solar activity again. Okay. So I'm going to leave this here. I love you. I look forward to connecting with you real time soon. Stay in the work. Very, very important. Okay. Follow your heart. Check in for you. Stop getting distracted by the outer reality and check in for you. What is your truth? What's true for you? Okay. I love you. I will look forward to seeing you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.